This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Ruchim Abam. We continue in Mishnah Berurah, Daf HaShavua. Today we begin with Sif Vav, Siman Beis Sif Vav. Just want to revisit a few things that we mentioned yesterday. Yesterday we learned that the right side has dominance. It seems like the Mishnah Berurah gave two reasons. The two reasons were that, firstly, one should pick up their clothing in their right hand, the entire article of clothing, and put on the right side first, and have in mind, everything is nichlal in the yamin, and from the yamin comes to the smil. Then later on, the Mishnah Berurah brought a different reason, namely, the right side is more chashuv regarding the matanois of the bayin yad of the kayin, and the bayin regal of the kayin, and the Torah also always proceeds the right side to the left side. I believe the Aruch HaShulchan says as far that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with the right hand, and therefore the right hand is more chashuv. Yesterday we asked the following question. Why does the Mishnah Berurah have to give two reasons? Why, when it comes to getting dressed, he says you pick up the article of clothing in your right hand, you pick up everything in the right hand, and you're mechavein that the smile is nichlal biyamin? And then a few lines later, the Mishnah Berurah says, well, the right side is more chashuv throughout the Torah. Why do we need these two reasons? I believe the answer is very simple. When it comes to putting on your right shoe first, or putting in your right hand first, so now we're dealing with one issue. Which side is more important, the right or the left? So to that, the Mishnah Berurah says in Siv Katan, hey, the right side is always more important. Where do we find that? By the matanois of dam, of the metzora, the bayin yad, the bayin regel, and for everything we put the right before the left. But when it comes to holding your garment, it's not a matter of what comes first, right or left. Now the question is, it's one or the other. You want to put the right, both sides of the garment, biyad yaminai. So now it's not a matter of what comes first, the right side or the left side, because now you're only doing one. You're putting both sides of the garment on one side. So here the Mishnah Berurah brings a Kabbalistic svara that have kavana, that hakol nichlal biyamin. Now what you're doing is you're taking the left side of something and you're putting it totally on the right. So now we need to come on to a different svara. Now it's not a matter of the right being taking precedence over the left. Now the question is, if we can view that one side is incorporated in the other, so now we need a svara. Is the right incorporated in the left, or is the left incorporated in the right? So the Mishnah Berurah brings a mystical svara that you hold both edges of the garment on the right side and be mechavin that everything really is nichlal in midas harachamim. So my friend Rameir Jacobson pointed out a very important ha'ara. I mean, think about it. Here, the most Kabbalistic concepts of Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim and how Hashem runs the world are being alluded to in my most trivial and mundane activities, namely, how I hold a pair of socks or how I hold up my pants. I mean, really? Are the rules of the universe in any way alluded to or connected to how I get dressed? But you see how important we are. Look how important we are. That the rules of the universe are reflected in our most trivial activities. Okay, now, I want to correct something I said, namely, regarding a lefty. Regarding a lefty does everything on the right side of everybody else, except when it comes to things that are connected to tefillin. So when it comes to holding the article of clothing, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, the lefty will still hold both edges of the clothing in his right hand, and he'll dress his right side first, and he'll bathe his right side first. Okay, let us proceed. Now, I also want to point out, yesterday, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss raised a very important point. The Mishnah Berurah is talking about tying your shoes, but we know nowadays there are many ways to be mahadik your shoes. You could use Velcro, you could use a buckle. Is it dafka tying, or any way of closing your shoe? So, Reb Chaim Knievsky in the Das Noita on page Samach Vav, he says that any manner of closing your shoe, whether it's Velcro, whether it's a buckle, is considered like tying, and therefore you would tie your left one first. Now, another interesting point is What is the connection between tefillin and shoes? What is it that the Torah gives chashivas to tying on the left side? We know that's not true. We know the Mishnah Berurah said when it comes to socks, then you tie the right sock first, if there would be such a thing. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings a very interesting thing. Why do we have tefillin? In the Schus that Avram Avinu said, "Michud va'ad sroich now," from a string to a shoe strap. So we see there's a connection between a shoe strap and tefillin. So the chashivus of tying is specifically in the connection between tying tefillin and tying shoes. Sif Vav. Asur leilech b'kayma zekufa. It is prohibited to walk in an extremely erect posture. V'lo yelech arba amois b'giloi harosh. Do not walk 4 cubits with your head uncovered. Mivnei kvoid hashchina. Out of respect to the divine presence, the yivdoik nikavav, and you should check your orifices. In other words, make sure that you do not have to go to the bathroom before davening. Says the Mishnah Berurah, b'kayma zukufas of katan tes, shadoichek raglei hashchina kviyacha. When a person walks in that type of arrogant posture, they push away the legs of the shechina, that this world is the footstool of Hashem, and therefore one needs to walk in somewhat of a more humble posture. Therefore, the Achroinim say that you cannot walk b'kamez guva even less than 4 cubits. Now, that's meduyik in the Mechaber. The Mechaber said, don't walk 4 amos b'gilei arosh. He did not say that regarding kamez guva. It's obvious, even if you're standing in your spot, and you feel like, you know, you're really having a good day and everything is going your way, and you feel like the king of the universe, you should not walk in that erect posture. Now, v'lo yelech, do not walk dalet amos begiloi harosh, says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu bebayis sheyish by tikra, even in a house that has a roof. The kol shekein tachas avir shemayim, certainly under the air of the heavens, the yesh yizar l'kuleyam, according to everyone, you should be careful. So there's a particular isser of walking dalet amos begiloi harosh. It is even more, it is worse to do so if you're outdoors. If you look in the Sha'arat Tzion Siv Katan Yud Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Pri Megadim that proves this from the Magen Avram. And this, in other words, this applies even in indoors. Not like those who want to be lenient to go without a yarmulke indoors. Now, Arba Amos. So the Halacha, as Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, you should not walk Dalet Amos. But it sounds like less than Dalet Amos would not be prohibited. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Umidas Chasidus Afilu Pach Me'arbas. It is considered saintly practice not to even go less than 4 Amos without a head covering. Va'afilu Be'es Hashena Balayla. Even while sleeping at night. In other words, it would be considered admirable, but not required, to have your head covered when you go to sleep. Okay, so that's Umidas Chasidus. Now, V'yesha Mitzadidin, there are those who disagree with the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you're not to go Dalet Amos. Some say that to go Dalet Amos, Eino Aser Midina Rak Latznu Masim, is not Aser Lahalacha, only it's not considered a modest practice. Okay, so that is an opinion of the Marshal. Aval, Kvar Kosava Taz Lekaman B'Simin Ches, the Taz writes that that is no longer applicable. That may have been the case back in the day, when it was not considered absolutely required to wear a yarmulke. The Bismanena, but in our times, Isser Gomor Midina, it is prohibited Midin, Liois Begile Harosh, to go without a yarmulke, Vafilu Yoshev Vaves, even if you're sitting at home, Vayin Sham Hatam, look over there for the reason. I believe the reason of the Taz is because Uvechukoseyem Loiseilechu, it's considered following the ways of the Goyim. Now, this might be specifically for the B'nai Ashkenaz, where the B'nai Ashkenaz, in the countries they lived in, the Goyim were makbid not to have their head covered. So for us, it would actually be a da'iraisa to go without one's head covered. The chen kasa b'tshuvas mari bruna. The kasa b'magin avram. The afilu ketanim nochein la'agilim b'kisarash. Even for young boys, it is correct to train them to have their head covered, so that they should have the fear of heaven on them. Like we find in the Gemara Shabbos, kasi reishech, cover your head so that you have the fear of heaven upon you. V'da'oid, you should realize further. De'inyan giloi harosh, dai b'chisei hayad al harosh. In order to get around the issue of having your head uncovered, it's enough to put your hand over your head. Now, don't be confused with saying Hashem's name with your head uncovered. That's something else. Now we're talking about an Isser of going bareheaded. So regarding the Isser, which might be an Isser d'oraisa of going bareheaded, it would help to have your hand over your head. However, to say Hashem's name without a head covering, then your own hand would not be considered a sufficient covering. Then maybe someone else's hand would be a sufficient covering. V'hu adin imefala roishoy sharei begilei roish. Likewise, if you're delousing your head and you have a specific reason why your head needs to be uncovered, then you could go with your head uncovered. V'ayin b'primagadim shekasav. Comes the Prima Gadam and he says, maybe in your house, having your hand on your head avoids the issue of Giloy Harosh. But under the airspace of heaven, if you're outdoors, there your hand will not be a sufficient covering under the airspace of the Shemaim. Let's end off with the Bir Halacha. V'lo yelech arba amos. Says, Ayim Mishnah Berurah Soif Sivkat Yud Aleph. Look what the Mishnah Berurah wrote at the end of Sivkat Yud Aleph, that the mefale roishoy shari, if you delouse your head, it's permitted to go without a yarmulke. Says Bir Halacha, Inemetz Prima Gadim Kasav. It's true, the Prima Gadim writes that the mefale roishoy kai gavna shari, that if you're delousing your head under these circumstances, it's permitted. Mashmi Yed Dafka B'mechasa B'yadai. The Prima Gadim implies, yeah, if you're delousing your head, then it helps to put your hand over your head. That's the Hemshech of the Mishnah Berurah. That it helps to have your hand over your head, and that also works when you're delousing your head. However, V'anoichi hishmadati tevas kai gavna, I left out the words ki hai gavna, meaning indicating that while you're delousing your head, you have to have your hand over your head. Mishum de mesefer simla chadosha mashma. From the simla chadosha, it implies the bezer shar b'chal gavne, that if you're delousing your head, it's permitted under all circumstances, even if your hand is not on your head. V'laniyaz daiti she'en lahachmer mazah. According, in my opinion, you don't have to be machmer. Because we said, what's the whole reason the taz is so machmer b'zman hazeh that you have to have your head covered? It's because you're mimicking the goyim. Because under these circumstances, everybody sees you're not doing this to mimic the goyim, you're doing it for your own benefit. So here we see a little bit of an opening. That if people see that this is not your mode of dress, but you're doing it for a personal gain, because you got to take a haircut, you got to delouse your hair, then it's permitted. So then that perhaps lends some ability, let's say if somebody in the workplace cannot have their head covered, so then that's something that should be addressed to one's Mara Derech, whether under those circumstances there's any basis to be lenient. But the bottom line is that for B'nai Ashkenaz, B'zman Hazeh, covering your head is Me'ikar Hadin and may even be a Dairaisa. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Rabbi Yisai, and we'll try to finish up tomorrow. Thanks everybody for joining. I'm going to wish you a great day. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.